The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand.
Good morning, good afternoon, depending on whether you are listening to me live or on the podcast, The Dyslexic Detective. This is Ben Vigen, The Deadline Report, Ben Vigen Investigates, care of Fresh FM, the greatest little radio station in the South Island and possibly the world. I'm going to be turning around today and I'm going to be talking to you about the earthquake in Turkey, and I'm going to be talking to you about one of the most controversial topics that I have ever touched upon. It's the only one where I feel the title of calling me a conspiracy theorist is actually accurate. I'm going to be talking to you about HAARP, High Altitude Atmospheric Research Program. I'm just going to kind of again underline this point. Like, you know, over the years, I've been interviewed and quoted in a number of newspaper articles, TV, radio, etc. And quite often they will call me a conspiracy theorist. I don't know why that in that particular context, because, you know, they never turn around and talk to you about my university qualifications. They never talk to you about my qualifications working as a professional researcher for banks, corporations, media. They don't talk to you about my books. They call me the conspiracy theorist, and they don't even tell you what the conspiracy theory is. But to give them the credit due, I will actually do their work for them. I will say, well, I guess I am a conspiracy theorist because I am willing to consider the concept of what is known as geo-warfare. That is to say, yes, there is a technology out there that can actually cause earthquakes. Now, I don't necessarily say it's actually happened in Turkey, and we'll kind of get into that to begin with, but I'm going to walk you through the story. I'm going to explain to you why I have the viewpoints I have, which are based on not only a considerable amount of specialist research, of which I have experience and qualifications in, but it's also upon a considerable track record of me saying, hey, look, this is actually how it works. This is what's going on. Being basically debunked by the fact checkers, who then decades later we discover that a large of what the assumptions of what they claim have actually no longer been proven to be actually accurate. So the reality is, when we start to go into the whole topic of geo warfare, the first issue that I'll bring to your attention is that my track record for accuracy on this has been consistently all the time. From 1995, when I started to talk about the Banjoana incident, which occurred in Perth in 1993, to the modern day, I have described how I believe the High Altitude Atmospheric Research Program actually works, what the elements are involved in, what the symptoms are. And again, I'll draw this background to you. Like, I was in the New Zealand Territorials for approximately 6 years, and one of my official postings was I was an artillery intelligence operator. Now, this is a title which basically teaches you to do ballistic forensics, and there are rules and methodology which work for that, which it doesn't really matter whether you're dealing with a pea shooter or you're dealing with an atomic bomb. There's certain factors that you will bring to that equation or that analyst, which is exactly what I've done to HAARP with my specialist training and my background in national security. And I've listed up a list of foregoing indicators which, when they're all prominently, tend to make me lean towards the idea that possibly we're looking at geo-warfare. That is to say, naturally occurring geographical events which are however actually man-made stimulated for the purposes of developing an offensive weapon capacity. That's my background. As I said, this is what I've been reporting. And one of the things I used to talk about was, I would first of all talk about the sighting of fireballs and sonic booms and mass sightings, mass witness reportings of these events that would be seen. So for example, the Boxing Day tsunami, you know, these are things that the people reporting on, Syrian big booms and the lightning up. I was reporting on that in the months before the Boxing Day earthquake, and these are events of people that the mainstream would say, no, actually, that's all a conspiracy theory, that doesn't happen, and oh no, that's just crazy talk. Well, now that we're actually starting to listen to people involved in things like the astrophysicists who are actually involved in studying the ionosphere, and slowly but surely the mainstream starts to talk to experts from that field, they start to realize that a lot of the assumptions that the geologists had, who are not astrophysicists, weren't absolutely necessarily correct, or we've learned a lot more about the topic about the interrelationship between the ionosphere and the plasma core in the Earth. That is to say, these are things which I have reported to and alluded to beforehand, being told, oh, no, no, that's not what's actually happening. And now modern civilian academia has caught up with what I've been reporting from examining military sources and specialist subjects, and they're starting to go, oh, actually, no, this is one of these things that actually does have a seismic connection, which, you know, for the last 10 years they said didn't. So that's just one of the examples I point out to basically say, yes, I'm reporting on a controversial subject. However, I have a set track record and I have a set degree of expertise and a set methodology, which I feel puts me in a better position to report on this topic than an 18-year-old pimple-popping fact-checker for Reuters. So on that note, this title of my blog, which I'll be putting out on Shipping News number 16, that's the annual Ben Virgin kind of report for the month for my subscribers. It's simply called Turkey New Zealand Harp Fact-Checking the Fact-Checkers. Now, what I say is, was Turkey quake a harp incident? Now, just to recover you for those who are not familiar, on the February of 17th, give me a take 2 days leeway, but on the 17th, Turkey was struck by a series of two earthquakes, 7.5 and 7.8, give or take Richter scale, because again, when you look at these reportings, quite often what happens is you get an initial reporting, then the different specialists will look at the readings from a triangular viewpoint, and from that then there'll be an appraised reading which can go up or down. So there is a little bit of leeway when you go 7.5, 7.8, pretty much, but that was the order. So I went looking at it, and of course a lot of people assumed, and they did, they made the assumption, they didn't really do the research, they believe in HAARP, so they went racing out to go, oh, it was Turkey was HAARP. And I initially said, well, you know, I've had a quick look at it, and this is, there's only four or so things which are really registering, which are really making me think, well, maybe this is a geopolitical HAARP event. And when again I use HAARP, I'm utilizing the terminology and generalization, not necessarily always talking about the high altitude atmospheric research program that centers in Alaska, Gakona, Inc., which has been subject to these allegations that it's tied up with geo warfare for a number of years. So Reuters turns around, and in their report, basically what they turn around and they do is they jump on all the reports that are saying, oh, this is the case, and they go, no, 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 HAARP did not cause the earthquake in Turkey. And the reason why we say this is because we spoke to some US military source and they told us it wasn't. So therefore, that's the end of the story, and we just accept them because they told us, and they should know because they're important people. Last time I looked at independent reporting, that's actually not how a news story actually operates. The thing is to actually go in and look at the allegations, and then is to go in and look at those allegations and see whether there is any supporting evidence or background for that. And it is also, in doing that, you must necessarily review the quality of your source network. So when I look at the various Reuters and their various other stories, you know, as I said, what they're doing is they're going in and they're interviewing people that are directly on the paycheck of HAARP, or people who are more based in the civilian academia and they're based in geology. They're not necessarily have any particular set skills to the ionosphere. And if, even if they do, they are civilian academics who have no background training, qualifications or experience in dealing with US military science. Because if they turned around and did that, they would actually find that actually a lot of their assumptions, especially on the, under the understanding of what the science of how earthquakes can be have a link to ionospheric factors, are wrong. So I'm just, you know, I'm just going to give you the summary of the facts. This is basically, when I went and had a look at it, was Turkey quake HAARP report and summary. Full report follows hereafter. Atmospheric conditions were perfect, powerfully suited to a storm that hit the North Pole. So what I basically mean by that is, the first thing is, what these guys who are telling you that, no, no, HAARP can't cause earthquakes and it's got nothing to do with geo-warfare, the first thing they don't understand is that HAARP is normally deployed when you have certain set atmospheric conditions which make the issue of transmitting the signal, they enhance the signal of things like HAARP. And one of the things that's actually happening at the moment during the Turkish earthquake was that there is actually a solar storm taking place at the time. There was a G1 storm, which is the highest rated on the February 17th, followed by a G2, which, as far as I'm aware, is the most aggressive storm I've ever witnessed in looking at the covering this event for 30 years. These basically showed you that the ionospheric conditions up in the upper atmosphere were going to be extremely ionized. So the first thing is, okay, we're looking at kind of conditions which could sort of show you that, you know, that would be perfect if you were deploying the system. The second thing is, we turn around and find out is, lo and behold, the Department of Advanced Research Agency program, this is the US military scientific advisory body, is actually carrying out a series of experiments involving the HAARP facility itself directly, not just HAARP related technology, but HAARP itself, which is occurring in the Arctic. So, okay, the first thing that we've got from a artillery intelligence viewpoint, which the fact checkers haven't gone to actually looked at, was the system harp, we know at the time of the Turkish earthquake, was actually active and it was deployed. So literally we're seeing the physical hardware deployed in that particular event. Upping the stakes, of course, is the other event. Is you may have read a lot of the stories recently where there's been this weird thing in the mainstream media where they start talking about UFOs, and there's an insinuation that if you want to believe that they are extraterrestrial ETs, then that's perfectly normal. Don't talk about the idea that maybe the US military might be involved in second generation electronic warfare or electron-based warfare, just an extension of standard atomic warfare developed under the Manhattan Project. No, let's believe that maybe aliens are visiting us, because that's surely much more credible than the former idea. But what we find is when we start to break down that story beyond the headlines and we start to look into the story, was what we actually have is we have a surveillance drone specifically over the facility or in proximity to the facility of HAARP at the time of which the US military chose to take hostile action at. Again, that starts to change the context of simply the fact checkers going, no, we went and asked the US military and they said, no, nothing to do with us, and we took them at their words. Then you start to look at the political conditions in Turkey. So again, the fact checkers didn't think that that was any relevant at all. They didn't turn around and look at the series of assassinations that are unfolding in Turkey at the moment. They didn't look at the bombings. They didn't look at the fact that Turkey's really not that keen to actually have NATO or Sweden into NATO. They haven't looked at the fact that Turkey's not really that keen to get the Kurds offset with the Syrians because they don't like the Kurds. They haven't looked at a lot of the geopolitics, which basically says actually destabilizing the Prime Minister of Turkey, who's not a friend of the US, Erdogan, in the lead up to an election might actually be constitute in some people's books as a very, very good motive. So Kane, anything like this really depends on, and let's call it what it is, all crimes depend on three factors: motive, method, and modus operandi. So, you know, we have a hell of a motive there. We have a modus operandi in terms of we have the hardware actually active and present. And that kind of continues, because when you look at the story, we also find that just like in the case of the Kaikoura earthquake, we find that a US military ship was deployed to Turkey in advance of the earthquake, and that when it arrived, a lot of Turkish politicians said, we know what that's here for, at ahead of the earthquake, and they told it basically to go away. Again, each of these things by themselves does not make a argument by itself for the use of HAARP. It's a question of looking at all the individual strings, tying all the strings together and going, this is a pretty strong rope. Now, that's what we're talking about is, it is a conspiracy theory. It is subjective. I'm not disputing that particular point at all. But what I'm also looking at is the element of common argument in terms of having a fact checker turn around saying, it's not, versus someone saying, well, actually, these are all my recent argument and these have all been authenticated and backed up. One argument shows a little bit more gravitas than the other one. So that's kind of all the point I'm trying to actually make at this particular stage. On linking actually out of the course, the other thing is, if you went and did a of fact checking, is that you would find that statements that were made by, for example, the Romanian senator, I can't remember pronounce the name off the top of my tongue, because as you know, I'm bilingual, I can multilingually ruin lots of languages, but she made the point that 10 other embassies were shut before the event, an earthquake, along with oil lines being closed down. The fact checkers don't actually go out and check those elements out. And this is the Reuters fact checkers. They just go, no, we're not even going to look at that. We're just going to say she's wrong. Well, I went and looked at it, and ironically, my sources were Reuters, which confirmed in actual fact that actually there were 9 embassies that did shut their doors right before the earthquake, and that yes, none of the oil pipelines running through Turkey were actually affected by this major event, because yes, the pipelines were shut down. Again, my sources were Reuters. So, you know, it kind of makes me a little bit cynical when the Reuters fact checkers can't even actually, you know, check with the guy sitting them at the desk next door. And we continue. We start to look at the other things, events around the world, because again, once you understand this technology, you understand like a weapon, it's going to leave a forensic signature. So one of the things I look for is the issue of what other major significant earthquakes or indications of seismic anomalies are actually existing. Turns out that week, there were quite a lot. There were ore fissures that were washing up on the equator. And again, we've seen stories like the ODT turnaround stories that go, oh, ore fissures have no links to earthquakes, which again is one of those stories where if you just accept the paper, then you go, oh, anyone that says that otherwise is a crazy nut job. But if you actually start going and adding the word scholarly review into your search and actually going through and looking at the number of articles that are written by both astrophysicists, seismologists, and various other academic specialists, they'll actually point out to you there are a number of naturally occurring things that can occur that have a relationship potentially to the ionospheric being stimulated either by seismic activity or by solar activity, because again, the argument that shows the links between solar and seismic is becoming stronger and stronger. So it went from years ago, again, the fact checkers and the status quo going, no, can't do that, and now we're actually quite some down the road to actually going, actually, there's a number of technologies out there, including things like QuakeTech, tested by Auckland University, AUT, in a program run by Neil Batten, a former Star Wars hardliner and affiliated with Rocket Lab, which again is a US military-funded operation. QuakeTech is actually looking at the links between the ionosphere and the seismic activity in terms of a precursor. What you also have a read, if you have a start reading that information, you start to read people like Ikram Kuramilov. Now, Kuramilov is actually, what I could just look up, the father of tectonic weaponry. You should find one on my site. What I've done is I've taken initial reports of Wikipedia, found the foot sources for them, found those foot sources that are in those articles, and basically backtracked and literally gone to the original primary sources and found this guy who's the father of tectonic warfare. He was a Russian scientist, and he was involved in developing the Russian geo-warfare weapons Vulcan and Mercury, which during the mid-1990s, mainstream media was reporting as these things actually existed. Apparently, we were against the Cold War. It was okay for the baddies to be doing it, but when we became friends with them, I know they didn't do it, but now we're baddies again, and it's like, again, if you turn around and you look at the idea that playing around the ionosphere has an offensive military capacity, well, go look at the same sources that are telling you that the West can't use this technology, and then go and look up the Russian-Chinese system SURA, which will immediately, you'll come up with a number of articles from, you know, say the same mainstream sources that tell you, no, no, the West doesn't play around with technology that can have a geo-warfare, that are telling you this is what the Russian and the Chinese can do. So again, there is this incredible double standard and incredible hypocrisy where the fact checkers won't actually acknowledge that actually they're talking crap, because they're on one level saying, oh, that thing which is exactly the same technology over there can do this. But then when we point to the technology that the West and US military involved in, oh no, it's everything it's doing is all about science and it's only science. Again, if you go back and you read Owen Wilkes' book, Peacemonger, he actually points out the various acts that are within the US law system, which says the US military is not allowed to spend money, even for scientific purposes, if it doesn't show that it has a direct military ramification. And when we look at things like the HAARP system, and they said, you know, that is just the tip of the very iceberg, you'll see that the US military has been spending billions and billions and billions of dollars on doing exactly what the Russians and Chinese are doing, which is learning around to play around with the ionosphere, which actually has some really, really major ramifications. And even if you don't want to turn around and accept that ionosphere can cause literally earthquakes, we do know from looking at Professor Craig Roger from Otago University that the systems that the US military are currently deploying at the moment to actually stop solar storm activity from jamming their systems can actually, however, be auto-utilized to cause mass blackouts of your rivals or your competitor systems. So if you don't understand the strategic ramifications or how that alone can be used as an offensive weapon, there's really not much point in you being a fact checker making statements about US military capacities when you clearly don't actually know what you're talking about. Okay, so I've turned around in my article, and again, we're not even going to do a song today, so I'm going to get into some of these New Zealand components, but just quickly give you that the Abidjani scientist is Ikram Kuramov. Kuramov basically destroys another assumption held by Reuters, fact checkers, and their so-called expert sources, non-military scientists without qualifications, and military scientists currently employed by the Pentagon with no might of to undermine the current paymaster regarding how geo-warfare technology actually works. And again, I'll take you back to Owen Wilkes, who is the subject of Nicky Hager's book, Peacemonger, A Man of Repute and Credibility in His Time. His book, Protests, available in the Turnbull Alexander Library, published in 1973, actually makes direct reference to Operation Longbank as being a geo-warfare experiment. And Owen was quoting US military sources, their own publications. He used this to cover the Operation Longbank, which was held down by Woodburn at the Blenheim Air Force Base, not far from where the Waihopa current site actually is. And he utilized this to basically look at the experiments that they were playing into the upper ionosphere, which again, if you go into the National Archives and look at the stuff that came out of World War II, there is no doubt that the military have been shown direct interest into the subject. And even things like, for example, not just solar storms, but Blue Jet and Sprites, which are sort of big plasmic storms that occur in the atmosphere. The US military was studying these for nearly up to 50 years before civilian scientists even knew that technology existed. And they only knew it existed because they finally got access to US military reconnaissance vessels that fly very, very high in the altitude using high-speed cameras that finally took a photo of this technology. Normally, you see a Sprite or Blue Jet. They're so fast, you don't even pick them up with a naked eye. So while all these journalists, fact checkers, at the middle of the run, use the same skills for a story about a cat up a tree as they would for a story about new developments in quantum mechanics, while these guys will turn around and talk to, again, scientists that actually really have had no background or experience in anything, they are going to sources that are not qualified to make the statements. It is very superficial fact-checking at the best. Now, I started to look at, there were a couple of other events that took place. I talked about the oilfish. There was widespread blackouts all along the equator, which has got ramifications when you look at things like Operation Starfish, which is when the US military let off a nuclear bomb in the atmosphere to see what happens when you poke the ionosphere. The actual conclusion can be summed up as the Americans and the Russians looked at each other in horror and went, let's not do that again in a hurry. So pretty much all that we have, these phenomena actually taking place. At the same time, there were earthquakes that occurred in New York. You're like, so what? That's a long way. How's that related? Except for the fact that when we looked at what happened in New York, was there were a total of 4 earthquakes that took place in New York. They are the first time that New York has had an earthquake in 40 years, and it was actually likewise surrounded by a environment of dolphin and whales beaching in that environment, which has also been mirrored down here in the southern hemisphere in New Zealand, which again, before we get into that issue, Kira Miloff has done academic research, and as have others, and again, more currently mainstream are actually reflecting this, showing you that when you have solar activity or stimulation man-made or naturally occurring in the upper atmosphere, it is going to have an impact upon fish, fauna, life. Anything that actually has electromagnetic sensitivity is likely to show aberrant behavior, which has been a common phenomena for many, many of the earthquakes occur. That includes New Zealand. But this is, again, I've told you about the fact-checking, that the fact-checkers actually, you know, have gone, oh, we'll say this, we've talked to these experts. But what they've also done is they've kind of leapt onto the other side of the fence, which they leap onto the things that are said on social media that aren't backed up with any support or that are presented out of contextual information. And then that becomes their, you know, it's like interviewing the crazy cat lady. Oh, well, we interviewed this nutter and they said things nutty. So the whole argument must be wrong. In New Zealand, when you start to look at the events that the 6.4 earthquake that occurred, I think February 19th, 2 days after the Turkish earthquake, at the height of a solar storm activity, lots of people started to kind of go, oh, that's HAARP too. And so's the storm in the Hawke's Bay. Before we start to look at what they reported, which is interesting, let's look at what they reported, which is just absolutely dumb. And it's the sort of thing that the fact checkers seize on, and they assume that if that's wrong, then everything must be wrong, because anybody that's deviating from the status quo must also be a lemon. You know, it's like there can't be 3 triangles in this argument. People who are saying it's not, who actually have a vested reason to do so. People that are saying that maybe it actually is, who have no vested reason to do so and actually are very good at what they do. And then there's a third triangle, which is the people that say, oh, you know, it actually is, but they're actually not really, really qualified, or they might even have mischievous reasons for actually putting in bad research to mess up the argument of those who are actually presenting reasonably strong, credible arguments. So we have, for examples, there is a picture of a C-130 Hercules flying over the epicenter, and it's got all these other photos of above an aircraft carrier, and, you know, it all sort of seems to almost imply that the C-130 Hercules had landed on the ground and right at the time of the earthquake. Except for when you study that supporting material, you'll notice that it's actually lacks a timestamp, so there's actually no proof that C-130 Hercules was present at that time where it was said. We do know when it's said, oh no, Skynet was passing over the same epicenter. That's actually true, but within 12 hours. We've heard stories of mass dolphins washing up on the East Coast. I'm really intrigued to know about the one, because the government is not denying it. They're just saying nothing, but yet that report has yet to be confirmed. Then there's the fourth point where we're getting people that are saying things on Counterspin about dams being allowed to run off during the Hawke's Bay River. Now, the reality is, I don't know what the protocols are for running a dam. It may turn out that there's some threat assessment relief system, but I actually at the same time haven't heard a denial, so again, I'd like to know more about it. But what troubles me is I see it being promoted on a platform like Counterspin, which, as you'll know, is one of the things I beat the drum repeatedly on, is I go, any media platform that is trying to push a set political agenda and is not attempting to be fair and balanced, in other words, show both sides of the arguments, where the argument's strong and where the argument is weak, is as suspect as any corporate media rolling out fact checkers that don't actually interview actual experts. So what I'm saying to you is that, you know, any information you get, whether it comes from the mainstream or whether it comes from the alternative media, you've got to look at the information and go, can this information actually be backed up, or is it hearsay? In which case, doesn't matter what your beliefs are, you have to dismiss the argument. If, on the other hand, you actually show that this person can actually back up all those statements, then maybe, even though that challenges your assumptions, it's time to have an actual adult conversation about that technology. If not, we haven't reached the point where we can say maybe it's time to have an adult conversation about whether or not HAARP can or not cause an earthquake, which is not what I'm saying here. What I will say is that we've reached a point now where we know that ionospheric conditions can have a military offensive capacity. They can be used to enhance existing weather known conditions, and they can be used to forecast the knowledge of that existing technology. So just to end you very, very quickly on the end of my article on this, which I lay out all, you know, I do a total debunk for and against, but at the end of my article, I actually cite the link of a gentleman's story. It's just go to my website. It's you'll see at the bottom I've got Reuters, Fact Check, HAARP, Earthquake, and I've listed this as a biased story, and I've just explained to you why I think it's a biased story. As biased as anything that Calvin Alps and his counter, whatever you want to call it, puts out and said, you know, he can't claim the role of being a journalist because he's trying to actually push a political agenda, and so he's, as by the name it titles, shows that he actually is spinning. Whether it's a counter spin or a forward spin, it's still a spin. He doesn't present fair and balanced news. The second example, however, I put underneath the Reuters story, it's a really good story because it doesn't go out again to say, this actually is what's happening. It simply provides the for and against, the and it's a very balanced story, which starts us to actually have a discussion about what the hell is the US military doing up there in the upper atmosphere, and maybe it's time that the wider public started to actually go all the way back to what Owen Wilkes was saying, who was a very, very successful leader of the peace movement and cracked many, many, many stories wide open of things that apparently, oh no, that's not happening, but what Owen Wilkes, with his impeccable research methodology, sure as hell destroyed a lot of assumption. And maybe we need to be taking leaf out of Owen Wilkes' book, who's, just by the way, under Nikki Hager, published the book Peacemonger, wonderful chapter in there about research. And again, I will actually be talking to you about that in the very near future, and I'm actually going to be running some workshops in Golden Bay and Nelson and other parts of the country. So if you want to come in and actually do some workshops on basically showing you what is fair and balanced research and what are some of the investigative journalist techniques and what are some of the legal things that you need to be aware of, then just follow my website and my Facebook, because I will be getting into that, and I'll probably be talking to Fresh M to see if they can actually give me a bit of a punt on that as well. All right, till next weekend, I think we will go out with Why Can't We Be Friends, which I use a lot, but again, it's just, you know, tongue-in-cheek talking about fact checkers that come from a corporate background that are really misrepresenting the conflict of interest or the sources and misrepresenting what they're calling fact checking, when all they're really wanting to do is cherry pick facts, just like Counterspin does, that ultimately are just there to push an agenda as opposed to give us actual fair and balanced reporting. This is Ben Virgin on the Deadline Report, courtesy of Fresh FM. We'll be right back.
color of your skin don't matter to me. Pow! As long as we can live in harmony.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
I kinda like to be the president.
Oh, yeah.
So I can show you how your money. I know what I'm talking about.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
I know you're working for the CIA. They wouldn't have you in the mafia.
Why can't we be friends?
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, the Top of the South's community access media station, with support from New Zealand On Air. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.